Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Can I talk to you a little bit about faith today? Huh? Can you use a little bit of faith? And I just want to talk to you about living by faith. Let me do our verses that we did last week. Mark 9:23 says, "And Jesus said unto him, If you can believe," everybody say, "If I can believe, all things are possible to me." Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength." Praise God. Praise God. Let's just getting started here, but let's look at, if I can see my glasses, I can't see out of them, man. I want to just go through our basic scriptures. Hebrews 11:1 gives a definition of faith. I'm on a campaign, I guess that's the best word to use. I'm tired of folks making all this sound like it's so hard to understand, and we try to complicate it so it makes whichever one of us is giving the lesson, if we can make it sound complicated, then we seem more spiritual, you know what I mean? And but faith and living for God and the things of God are simple. They're so simple that even a little child can grasp them. And so let's look at the definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. To break it down just a little bit, now faith is the substance, or it is the assurance. It's the title deed. Now, if you've ever paid off a house, you get was called a title to your house, a title deed. It is the title deed. It is the guarantee. It is the reality of the things that you hope for. Now faith is the assurance. And that word hope means something that I am confidently expecting. So, faith is my assurance, it's my guarantee of the things that I hope for. It's my guarantee of a good marriage. Faith is my guarantee, it's my title deed, it's my assurance. It's the reality that I have it. It's the assurance of my prosperity. It's the assurance of my health. I'm convinced that I have it. By His stripes I'm healed. And it's the evidence or the proof. That word evidence means when something has been tried and proved. It's the conviction, but I like that tried and proved thing because I've tried my faith and I've proved my faith and I know it works. You with me? I know it works. And here's the beautiful thing about it. It doesn't work because of me, because I did something right, because I got all my T's crossed and my I's dotted. No. It works because of what Jesus did. Huh? And so it's my evidence. It's my proof. I've tried and tested it, and I know it works. And it's the evidence of things not seen. So in other words, I know it works before I see it with my natural eye. I know it works. It's got to work. Because His Word does, it produces everything it's sent to produce. And so actually my faith is just my confidence in Him. My confidence in His Word. My confidence, man, it's going to be all right. Huh? It's going to be all right. Huh? Do you ever worry? You ever get worried? And all, you know, isn't it amazing how worry, most of the time, it comes to you in the middle of the night? Huh? When you can't do nothing about it. Did you ever notice that worry seems to disappear a little bit when the dawn, when the light comes? Huh? But my confidence, it's going to be all right. What do you need? It doesn't matter if it's money. It doesn't matter if it's healing. I'm convinced that this word is going to do it. This word will do it. Huh? And I'm getting rid of, I don't deserve it. I'm getting rid of feeling guilty and feeling unworthy. And no, that's all fine, but that's all me. That's all stuff in me. That's not in God. It works not because of me. It works because of Him. Huh? It's a free gift. Just like faith works for your salvation, faith will work for everything else in your life. It's a free gift. If it's free, that means I don't have to earn it. I don't have to deserve it. Now, don't get me wrong. There's things that I can do that spark it and do those things that God tells me to do, and that makes those things come into manifestation. Well, we talked about it last week. You see, tithing, since we brought that up, but tithing, I know whatever I need, it's going to be there. Huh? I mean, I've tried it and I've proved it. I'm convinced. It's my title deed. Why? Well, because I did what God said, and He's going to do what He says. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter if it's your healing, or if it's your salvation, or if it's your marriage, or if it's just your being discouraged. Hey, listen, He's got it covered. He's got it covered. Well, let's go on. That's a pretty good lesson right there. We could quit right now, couldn't we? I won't quit yet, but hopefully I'll quit early today and let you start your weekend early. But Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Let's break it down. Without faith, without my total belief in Him, that He is, that He exists, but that He is the creator of all things. My faith, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, because not only that He exists, but I'm convinced that He will do what He said He will do. He is who he says he is, and he'll do what he says he'll do. I just want this to soak in a little bit. It's impossible to please him without that. For he who comes to God, he who approaches, he who draws near to God must believe that he is, that he exists, that he is who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder. That word rewarder means a paymaster. Huh? How many ever thought, you know, I need a raise and I don't make enough money and I mean, you know, and well, once you shift paymasters, once you shift over and say, Lord, this is what my job produces, but this is what I'd like to have. So I'm thanking you for all this that you give me here, but you're my paymaster, and you're able to cause it to come to me anyway, every way. But those who diligently seek him, he's a rewarder for when we diligently seek him. Those who seek out, those who search out. I like this word, those who investigate. I told God, I was praying, I prayed yesterday too, but I don't remember which day it was, but I said, you know, Lord, I don't know you, but I want to. You know, I'm just going to investigate. I'm just going to seek him. I'm just going to search him out. I'm just going to crave him. You get those kind of things in your heart, and just let me tell you something. You get those kind of things in your heart, and you can't help but the windows of heaven opening up for you. Huh? How many have kids or have had little kids? And man, you know, when my sons would come and sit on my lap, and you know, first thing I'd say is, what do you want? And they would say something like, we don't want anything, Daddy. We just want to love you. You know what Daddy did? Here, baby. You can't get those things in your heart without opening up God's heart to you. Anyway, now we're down to the verse that I wanted to start with. So, and we're already half done. How about that? Says Hebrews 10:38 says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The upright, the righteous, the just, those who are going to keep God's commandments, those who want to keep his commandments, those who want to please him, shall live. They'll live, they'll enjoy life, they'll be active and blessed endlessly. That's what that means. Shall live by faith, total conviction, totally convinced that God exists and that he is who he says he is, and he is the creator and of the universe, and he holds your future in his hand. The total trust in that. And so I'm just thinking, what is living by faith? What does that mean? Well, in Hebrews 10 here, I don't want to take this out of context, because the first thing it means living for God, not living in sin, not enjoying sin. I love what it says here. It says, if anyone who dies, who rejects Moses' law, dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now that was under the law, that was in the law of Moses. He says, how much worse punishment do you suppose will be to those who trample the Son of God underfoot? Those who, let me just read it instead of trying to paraphrase it. How much worse punishment do you suppose? Will he be through worthy, though worthy, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant, which is his sanctification and common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? What he's trying to say here is what is sin anyway? What is sin? Well, you can think of different sins, but basically sin is not doing what you know to do. Huh? Not doing what you know to do. You know you shouldn't behave like that, but you do it anyway. You know you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that, but you do it anyway. But not only that, you know the good intentions, you know the things that you should do, and you don't do them. And so, first off, living by faith is just being obedient. Just being obedient. Are you going to live for God or not? You know, it's amazing how many Christians, how many people that are going to go to heaven if they die, but they spend their whole life wrestling back and forth on whether, you know, struggling with the little things. You know, I got to thinking, you know, the best, probably the biggest thing that would win the world if Christians would just act like Christians. Huh? If we would just make up our mind, we're going to live for God. We seem to stay in a place, if we're not careful. A lot of Christianity is they're still debating on whether to do this, whether to do that, debating on whether they should. You know, we have a little struggle here, but we stay in a sin consciousness, if you will. We wrestle all our lives trying to be worthy, trying to not sin, and trying to do everything right. The sin, why don't we just settle the sin issue? I'm not going to. Huh? Just settle it. You know, you ever been around somebody you kind of had to walk on eggshells around them, and you kind of didn't, you know, you kind of and if we're not careful, that's how we feel about God. We're afraid to mess up, and we're afraid to do this, and we're afraid to do that, and that's sin consciousness. Sometimes God would like to take us on to some bigger things. Let me read you out of Hebrews. It says, through the time you ought to be teachers, you need to be one that's taught again the principles and the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who is a partaker of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is a babe, but solid food belongs to those that are full age, those who by reason have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. This is the part I like. It says, therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let us not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works, or from faith, or of faith towards God, or of doctrines of baptisms and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. Now, he's not saying that those things aren't important, but he's saying, let's go on. Let's go on to some deeper things of God. Let's go on to some things. You ever see anybody, they know how to tell you how to get saved, get baptized, join the church, all that stuff, and then after that, they don't know what to tell you to do. You know, a lot of Christianity stays at that level. They just continually confess their sins, continually think of themselves as sinners and think of themselves as unworthy, and they just constantly fight that battle over and over and over and over. And Paul says, let's go on to some deeper things. The base of this thing is just make up your mind you're not going to sin. Just make up your mind, I just came to a place some time back and I just said, Lord, I'm going to live for you. I'm not going to sin. And if I do, I have an advocate with the Father. His name's Jesus. And he'll forgive me and he'll cleanse me. But I'm not going to spend all my focus, all my time focusing on, am I sinning? Am I not sinning? Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? I'm going to go on into some things with you, Lord. I want some bigger things. Not that those aren't right, that those things are wrong or that they should be forgotten. He didn't say forget all those things. He said, but let's just move on into some other things. So first off, I say is living by faith is just making my mind up. I'm rooted and grounded in your love. I'm rooted and grounded. I'm going to live for you, God. That's not in question anymore. You ever see anybody that they teeter-totter back and forth depending on what happens and if they're going to be discouraged or if they're going to be upset with God or if they're going to be pouting or if they're going to be happy? And just make up your mind, man, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to go on. I'm going to go on into these things of God. Get that settled. I'm not going to live in sin. I'm going to be obedient to the best of my ability. I'm going to be obedient. Try to be obedient. Let's get it where everybody can fit in. I'm going to try to be obedient to everything I think you're telling me, Lord. I'm going to follow you. And see, if that thing is settled, then you can go on. You don't have to stay there. You can go on into some greater things. Because see, to live by faith means that I'm walking through life and I'm trusting Him. I'm walking through life and I'm walking in His blessing. I'm walking through life and what if all the stuff, the worry and the lack and all the stuff we spend all our time thinking about, what if we just went through with that anticipation, that excitement that God's taking care of it, God's working? If we just went through with that attitude, you see, He wants us to walk in blessing. I was thinking, more than anything else, God wants us to walk in all that He's created for us. Walk in all the blessing. We're still hung up thinking we got to earn it, and we're still hung up thinking that we don't. If I do enough. I talked to a guy the other day, and he's well advanced in his faith, man, well advanced. But he was talking about God doing some of this stuff for him, and he said, I've helped a lot of people. And before I even thought, I said, yeah, but it's not because you helped a lot of people. It's because Jesus did it. Huh? Now, helping a lot of people help stuff come to you. And it, because that's what he said to do. But when it comes right down to it, I'm not blessed because I helped a lot of people. I'm blessed because Jesus blessed me. I'm blessed because he gave it to me. Did you ever notice, next time you're reading the Old Testament through, the thing that stands out to me the most in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel, they're going through the wilderness and all that, you know the thing that stands out to me the most, that God was the most displeased with? They wouldn't go on in and possess the land. They wouldn't go, they wouldn't step into the blessing that God wanted them to step into. When the spies went in, and in the book of Numbers, and the spies went in, and we know the story, 10 came back with a negative report, and 2 came back with the good report, and what did God call the negative report? He called it the evil report. The ones that said, we can't do it. What was it they couldn't do? They couldn't do what God told them they could do. They didn't believe what he said. They didn't believe what he said. And as you go through, that's, I love it. I was going to read it to you, but I'm not going to. But in Deuteronomy, the first chapter, Moses is given a discourse of the whole thing in Deuteronomy, the whole trip through the wilderness to Egypt, the trip through the wilderness. But he says something interesting in the first part there. He says, haven't you went around this mountain long enough? He said, you took a 7-day journey and you've been out here 40 years. Isn't that long enough? Go in and possess your land. What did he tell Joshua? Well, he said, Joshua, don't be afraid. You know why we don't go in and possess the blessings? We're afraid to. We're afraid he doesn't want us to have them. We're afraid this or that. He says, don't be afraid. Be of good courage. Meditate in this law. Don't depart from it to the left or the right. And go in and possess that land. What would you do if you were real rich? Can you imagine that, being real rich? That's why you're not. Once you start imagining it. You say, well, that's silly, Hank. Well, but if you would imagine it, you would get closer to it than you are not imagining it. You with me? But what if you were real rich, man? And I mean, you just had money to burn, and you just didn't have, you just wasn't nothing you could think of that you didn't have, that you wanted, that, you know, you just couldn't think of, I mean, you can only buy so many steaks and so many things, and then after a while, you know, you just got everything, you know? And you had some kids. And you wanted them to step in and enjoy some of this fruit. Now, I never had that trouble with my kids. You know, I said, I want you all to enjoy this. They enjoyed, you know. But they wouldn't step in. They wouldn't. They said, well, no, Dad, I don't want that. I don't want that. You see, God's heart is the heart of a giver. Can you... I want you to get this and then we'll quit. Can you picture God in heaven? Can you think of anything that God doesn't have? If you can think of it, then he'll get it. I mean, can you think of anything that he wants? Anything he wants for? anything. And imagine this, God's in heaven and he's got all this stuff. He wants to share it with somebody. And Hank's going, I'm not worthy, God. I don't worry. Or if I do enough, I'll get it. Can you imagine the heart of a giver? God is the biggest giver. The heart of a giver, and he wants to share what he stuff. He doesn't want you to be a spoilt brat, but he wants to share. He said, I made all this stuff so I could share it with you, Corey. Now, I know Corey will take it. You know, he's passed all the hang-ups. Well, I don't, the theologies and the... Won't you just enjoy it? Let me read you a few verses here. In case you don't know, I changed what I was going to do and did something different because I wanted it to be shorter. But let me just read you a few verses. Psalms 84:11. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold. Now, faith, what did I say faith was? Where did it go? Faith is the substance. It's the assurance. It's the guarantee that those things that I'm confidently expecting will come to pass. It's the evidence of those things before I see them. He says, no good thing will I withhold from you. Romans 8:31, he says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? But then he goes right into this. He says, he who did not spare his own son, the biggest thing he could give, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How many could think of some things that just would make life easier for you? Huh? Now the rest of you, we'll get all this religious thinking gone here in a little bit. Let me say that what it means. It means if Jesus didn't spare his own son, wouldn't he freely give you all things? If he was going to spare anything, if he was going to hold back anything, he'd have held back Jesus. He doesn't care to give you that car. He doesn't care to give you that house. If he was going to hold back anything, he'd hold back Jesus. Well, let's go on to another one. John 15 says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it'll be done for you. What's he saying? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, why? That word will produce all those things in your life. It says, by this, by what? By us abiding in him and us abiding in him and asking what we desire, God will do it for us. He said, by this, I don't think I said that clear enough. He said, by this, by what? By us abiding in Him and asking Him what we desire. By this, my Father is glorified. That you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. Well, we want to make everything spiritual. Yes, by this, if you abide in Him and His words abide in you, you'll have the fruits of the Spirit in your life. You'll have the character change in your life. You can't change that anyway. A fruit is grown. It's not something you can acquire. A fruit grows. And if I'm abiding in Him and His words abiding in me, then the things in me that need to change are changed. But we just want to chop it off there. He said, if you do this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, what you desire, and it'll be done for you. By the fact that you abided in Him and asked what you desired, by this is my Father glorified. Now I'm emphasizing something. I don't want to take away the spiritual significance, because it's more important than all the stuff in the world. You can not have any stuff in the world and still go to heaven. And if you got a choice, go to heaven. The heck with all the stuff. I'm just trying to tell you, you can enjoy the trip a little more than you're enjoying it. It glorifies God to do things in your life. It glorifies Him to bless you. It glorifies Him to get you to think about something and then Him come and do something far greater than you were even thinking about, than you could even ask or think. That glorifies Him. He says, let me out of the box, Hank. Well, I don't know if I get all that stuff. I might not live for God. We already settled that question. We're going to live for God. This isn't a thing of, am I going to live for God or not live for God? I'm going to live for God. If I have stuff, I'm going to live for God. If I don't have stuff, I'm going to live for God. If God blesses me, I'm going to live for Him. If He never blesses me again, I'm going to live for Him. So that's settled. That's question settled. Now He says, let me out of the box. Keep your heart right with me and let me show you. Huh? One of my favorite songs of all times was the Beatles song, said the Magical Mystery Tour. I thought I knew what that was when I used to do acid and stuff, but I found out what it was when I came to Jesus. Woo! He said, let me show you some new wine, Hank. Well, I'm trying to do a little shock factor as we go along here. I want this to get through to you. I want you blessed. And I don't want you blessed like somebody else is blessed. I want you blessed like you're supposed to be blessed. Quit, take your eyes off everybody else, what they have and what they don't have and all the rest of that, and just say, God, what do you got for me? John 16, it is. John 16 says, until now, you've asked nothing in my name. So ask that your joy will be full. Well, my joy being full isn't determined on what I have, but sometimes what I have sure makes me a lot happier. Come on. Yeah. I like what a guy used to say. He was a millionaire, and he started out driving a beer truck. And he got up and gave us a speech. This is Dexter Yeager. Got up and gave us a speech. He said, "Guys, let me tell you something. I've had it, and I've not had it. And it's a lot more fun to have it." Get that religious look off your face, man. I'm going to lead some of you into this blessing, whether you like it or not. You're just kicking and struggling and fighting all the way. And when you get there, you're going to go, "Whoa, that's what you meant." I'm not talking about having stuff that gets you away from God. We already settled that. Oh, we're going to live for God. Well, Psalms 37 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart." You got some desires? Well, quit suppressing those things. Let them out. Your joy doesn't depend on whether you get them or not, but let them out. See, let God out of the box and see what He does for you. Boy, some of y'all, this is like pulling teeth, man. Ephesians 2:10 says that God has created us in Christ Jesus. We're His workmanship. And He has created us so that we could walk in all the good works that He prepared for us beforehand. Now you've got to get rid of your religious pencils. Quit marking everything in your Bible religiously. Religion will keep you from the blessings of God. Religion isn't spirituality. Religion tells you what you can't do. The Spirit brings life. Tells you what you can do. Well, I'm getting more of you, and now we're almost done, see? So Hebrews 8, and I'll close with this verse. He, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as He is also mediator of a better covenant. Get this. That's built on better promises. Now listen to me. If the old covenant, He said, "No sickness will come nigh your dwelling." In the old covenant, if He said, "I'll make you the lender and not the borrower." If in the old covenant He said, see folks, that's all stuff He promised. He said, "You'll be blessed in the field, blessed in the barn, blessed in the city, blessed everywhere you go." He said, "I'll make you the head and not the tail." Go to Deuteronomy 28. Read the first 15 verses or so. He says, these blessings will come. What blessings? Head, not the tail. Borrower, not the lender. Everything your hand touches prospers. He said, these blessings will come on you and overtake you. That's how bad God wants to bless you. They'll come on you and overtake you. Just keep your heart right with me. Just do what I say. We already settled that, right? We're going to live for God. Now, that's not just a decision you make one time. That's something you work on every day. Because when He starts blessing you, it's a whole lot easier to look at the blessing than it is the blesser. But if you can keep it in the right perspective, it won't get you, you'll get it. God doesn't care how much you have. He just doesn't want it to have you. Well, if my new covenant is built on better promises than the old covenant, well, now listen, the better promises, man, I'm going to live with him forever. The best promises, man, I'm going to... Yeah. I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. I'm redeemed. I'm brought back into harmony with God. That's the greater blessing, but that's the greater promises, but don't forget the other promises. God didn't expect us to live in the earth wanting and lacking. We did that to ourselves because that's what we believe. I'll talk some more next week because I want you to go home early. So, hang on to those promises, but don't forget the other promises. The other day, I was not feeling well, and before I even thought, it came rolling on my spirit. Sickness, you can't come here. You can't come to my house. Did you still feel bad? Well, yeah, I still felt bad. But I made a decision. Now I feel good today. The first thing came to me. And when there's lack, you know... Even the Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will lack nothing. I'll fear nothing. We could go on and on and on. Living by faith. So let me just sum it up this way. Living by faith is me facing every day with a confident expectation. Man, I don't know what he's going to do next. Woo, he's got something in store for me today. A confident expectation. Put whatever it is, see? Put whatever troubles you're facing. Put whatever thing that's broken your heart. Put whatever things in there. Get dollar signs and stuff out there. But whatever it is, man, he's going to fix my marriage today. This might be the day. My healing's coming. Today might be the day it manifests. You hear me? I'm talking about walking through life. It's hard to stay down if you can have a confident expectation and you believe you have it before you see it. It's hard to stay down. Well, let it soak in. Let the Holy Spirit do something to you this week. Let Him reveal some stuff to you. And I got an idea. Why don't you change the way you think? Huh? I mean, the way you think is what got you where you are today. Would you like to make some more advancements? Somebody says, I'm not so bad. Well, okay, but would you like to make some more advancements? Then why don't you change the way you think? I've gotten a habit every day. I say, Lord, I don't know how to think the way I'm supposed to think. But help me change my mind. Because I want all that you have for me. I want to be all that I can be for you. And I want everything you've got for me. So change the way I think. Well, everybody stand. I'll close three or four more times and we won't get to go get away early. Is there anybody here that's not saved? Come on, you don't have to bow your head and do all that stuff. Anybody here not saved? Anybody here not saved and you're afraid to raise your hand? Oh, there's one. Okay, let's all lead this one to the Lord. Everybody say with me, Father, I want to be saved. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Save me right now. I want to live for you, but I need your help. Thank you for saving me. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Hey, I want you guys and gals, I want you to have a blessed Memorial Weekend, and I want you just to have some peace of God and some joy, and so I speak that into your heart. I think there's some here that came today to be prayed for healing, for different things. Doug's here, and I'm here, Gary's here, Chris is here. We'd be happy to pray with you about anything you want or need, but I just speak that peace and that joy into you. And I just believe you to have a great weekend. I believe you to have a great week. And I believe you to begin to walk in all that God has for you. You receive that? Say, I receive it. Come on, I receive it. Come on. If somebody walked up to you with a wheelbarrow full of money, would you go? Or would you go, ah! God's got a wheelbarrow full of happiness for you. Why don't you take some of it? Hey, I love you. Have some fun. And I'll see you next week.